It sure pays to know how to launch a viral video. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. When policymakers at the Fed see a certain amount of inflation, they're going to start raising interest rates. Just what the trigger looks like is still a matter of debate, even after the Federal Reserve chair tried to explain it last week. At the moment, there's little inflation, but is that really true? On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Nieman, the analyst in the middle of the country at Smith, Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hello, Julie.
Morning, David.
I suppose there's official inflation, and then there's the inflation that you and I feel.
Well, probably the key thing is the way the Fed measures inflation, there is no inflation, so we don't have to worry about big hikes in interest rates in the short run. And the biggest problem is in the weather and in food. The price of food is really going to be going up this year. And of course, we know from everything else, clothing, medical, gasoline, professional services, that's all going up. So the consumer is caught in the worst possible situation. Everything you own going down, everything you have to buy is going up, buyflation.
So when you see the government report not much inflation, your instincts that maybe that's not exactly true in your case are borne out.
It's all tests and measurements here. The test is the fact that the consumer is suffering. And even take a look at individual investors and retired people who live on fixed incomes. Every place that they invested their money is going down. Yet they still have big inflation on everything they have to buy and no opportunity to grow their income.
Julie Nieman at Smith, Moore & Company, St. Louis. Thank you.
You bet.
Disney could pay up to about $950 million for Maker Studios, the outfit that made the Harlem Shake video a viral hit. You didn't think that video just happened, did you? Expertise in little videos would help Disney with marketing and promotion in this digital world, Marketplace's Noel King reports.
Disney is really good at making big blockbuster movies, but what kids and teens are watching these days? Short-form digital videos on their cell phones. And making them is what Maker is really good at. Jack Myers is a media ecologist with Myers BizNet.
Top-performing YouTube channels have growing viewership, they have growing subscribers, and for Disney, it really provides them with a route to the intersection of mobile and online video.
And because young people are flocking to stuff produced by Maker Studios, so are advertisers. Brad Adgate is a senior VP of research at Horizon Media.
If you look at online video advertising, you know, this year eMarketer forecasts it to be a $5.7 billion in ad volume. So, you know, I think there's a lot of money there. There's a lot of eyeballs going there.
One question still remains. Will Maker go PG-rated to fall in line with the family-friendly Disney brand? Or is Disney willing to spice it up a bit for the sake of all those teenage eyeballs? I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
There's a striking statistic that by the end of 2015, that's next year, three-quarters of the global workforce will be younger people who can be lumped into that sometimes vague category known as millennials. In the U.S., who are millennials and where are their heads? Alicia Menendez is a reporter and anchor at Fusion TV, the collaboration between ABC and Univision. Alicia, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, David?
Doing well. So let's talk about some of these millennials. I don't know how we're going to define it. I guess if you're about 34 years old, you're just barely a millennial, but you might be a little bit younger, right?
Right. Born okay. After 1980-ish.
It's an interesting generation because there has been a lot of financial hardship in their generation.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the largest, most diverse generation in American history. It is also a generation that is incredibly well-educated and yet in a really tough economic spot.
What do we know about their outlook, given all this? You'd think it'd be a very pessimistic bunch.
You would, but we are relentlessly optimistic. You know, based on research, for example, the Pew Research Center just put out a great study. They have us more than 8 in 10 say that we either currently have enough money to lead the lives we want to live or expect to in the future. There is no other cohort of adults that say this, though Pew points out, and I think it is worth noting, that the generation just above us, the Gen Xers, had sort of similar numbers when they were about our age. So there is the possibility that some of this just has to do with the stubborn optimism of youth. But there's also the possibility that this generation is just inherently optimistic.
That could be a different attitude toward consumption, toward a connection between money and happiness. It might mean that people think they could be happy and content without all that much money.
Right. And I think that there are big questions about how we contextualize home ownership as a generation. We are not in a position to buy, which is having devastating consequences for the housing market. And then you add to that the fact that we are incredibly transient. We are going to where the jobs are, which make it much more difficult to commit to tethering ourselves to a locale when we're not 100% sure that the jobs will be there.
The anchor of the Fusion TV show, Alicia Menendez, tonight. Alicia, thank you.
David, thank you.
And there are lots of jokes about Google's interactive eyeglasses, usually with the general thrust that wearing Google Glass is like slapping a dweeb sticker on your forehead. Perhaps not for long. Google has now cut a deal with the Italian eyeglass maker Luxottica to incorporate their eye-level input-output device into perhaps cooler glasses. Luxottica does Ray-Bans and Oakleys, for instance. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.